We wish to welcome each one this morning to the house of the Lord. I thank our brother for his sincere prayer and for each one of you who have been praying. I felt maybe it was wise for me to give an update on Patsy this morning. Patsy is one who never wants to draw attention to herself. She wants to help others. This past Wednesday, she had five and a half hours of chemotherapy. And this past Wednesday, she had 6.5 hours of chemotherapy. So first 2 or 3 days after chemo, she felt pretty good. But then starting last night, it's a couple days of real tiredness and weakness. This morning, she could hardly dress herself. But she's feeling better when I left. And the reason she never wants to draw attention to herself, she says the Lord knows it. He has allowed it. He has a purpose. And we need to learn from that. And loved ones, that's an encouragement to me of her faith. I want to thank you. So many have been kind with prayers. First of all, cards, calls, flowers, love gifts. Many things we never expected. One of the hardest things for her is losing her hair. She had a hairpiece, but we had trouble for it to work right. So our precious daughter-in-law, Gail, worked an evening and helped her with that. And then another dear sister on Friday night spent the whole evening making coverings for her to fit the hairpiece. So we're so thankful for what you're doing for us. Let's remember God's on the throne. He has a purpose. And we trust that through this, his name will be glorified. This morning, the subject that the Lord has laid on my heart was one that I preached in 2009 at Mumbert's Bible Conference. They asked me to preach two sermons there. The one was on lessons learned from life in the workplace. And the other one was lessons I learned on finances. This morning, we want to speak on lessons I've learned from the workplace. And I hesitated. One of the brethren from here was at that meeting and said that he thinks that should be preached at Pleasant Hill, maybe encouraging to young people especially. But I hesitated because I don't want to exalt anything in my life because I'm just a servant of God. There's two scriptures that remind me of how I must appear in the presence of the Lord of lords and the King of kings, one day. The first one is found in Isaiah. When Isaiah had the vision of the Lord sitting upon his throne, the angels were crying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Then said Isaiah, "Woe is me, for I am undone." And we know the account. An angel came and touched his lips with a live coal and cleansed him. The second scripture is found in Ephesians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul, he said, "Whereof I am made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual workings of his power, unto me who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of God." These two reasons are why it's impossible for me to share any helpful information but by the working of God through the Holy Spirit in my life. Oh, how I need that live coal laid daily upon my life and upon my heart. This morning we will look at this subject in three areas. Some examples of God's children in the workplace, God's expectations in the workplace, and lessons that I have learned in the workplace. Examples of God's children in the workplace. God desires for us to be faithful witnesses in every area of our life, and I believe especially in the workplace. We'll need to look at some examples of this. First of all, Daniel. He was taken captive away from his into a foreign country, away from his family. He was given an opportunity to serve in a place of high position. But he had strong convictions that were based on God's word. In Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, Daniel purposed in his heart. His purpose was to serve God wherever he was faithfully. He was committed to obey his God, whatever the cost. And in verse 3, it says he had an excellent spirit. I believe he was a hard worker. He was dependable and he was honest. But there were those who were jealous of him. And it says they had none occasion to find fault in him because he must have been a good employee, a faithful person. He was told to stop praying or be put in the lion's den. But he was willing to stand alone and he was faithful. He was faithful in the workplace. The second one we'll look at is Joseph. He was sold as a slave by his brothers. We all know in the account he was taken down there into Potiphar's house. And then the Lord blessed him and Potiphar exalted him there. And he had a pretty good position and was taking care of all the needs there. But then Potiphar's wife, I guess she saw he was a beautiful man. She desired to have a sexual relationship with him. Remember what he said? I cannot do this great wickedness and sin against God. He fled. He got out of there. But then you know what happened. He was put into prison. And while he was in the prison, the Lord blessed him there. He must have been a diligent, faithful prisoner. And he was exalted to a position there. And then he interpreted some dreams, but he was forgotten, and he spent about 4 years in that prison for obeying God, for living for God. But we find that after that, he was taken out and exalted to a very high position. Another person we'd like to look at is in the New Testament, and that's Lydia. I believe she was a businesswoman. She was a seller of purple. I believe she had people working for her. She must have been a hard, committed worker who had learned respect because of her management and her work habits. Another one is a proverb lady. In Proverbs 31 and verse 27, it says, "She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness." She must have been a dependable, hard worker that showed forth in her godly life. I can mention some brethren here in our congregation have been businessmen and others who were employees or employers that have been hard workers and honest and people of integrity, and it's been a great witness for God. The second thing we want to look at here is God's expectation in the workplace. You know, we live in an age of handouts. Everybody wants most people want things for nothing. They don't want to work too hard, but they want handouts. One thing was said of our president who was put it back in the office that he's a Santa Claus. He wants to help everybody who don't want to work. Every one of God's commands that he gives us is designed for the spiritual, physical, and mental well-being of man. But even in our days, there's fewer work days each week and more pay for being demanded by workmen who labor in the workmen. Our nation used to be a paradise, our American dream, but it's going down the tubes. One of God's most helpful provisions for toil, he says, in the sweat of thy face shall thou eat bread. Whether our work be physical or mental, let us give ourselves joyfully and wholeheartedly to it. Whatsoever thy hand findeth, do it with all thy might, the scripture says. What does God's word say about work? You know, a lot of people don't like to think about work. It's a blessing to be able to work, a satisfaction that blesses us. In Proverbs 16:1, the preparation of the heart is in man, and the answer of the tongue is from God. All the ways of man are clear in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, it says. And then in Proverbs 20:11, even a child is known by his doings whether his work be pure and whether it be right. Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, no device, or knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. 1 Thessalonians 4:12, and that you study to be quiet, to do your own business, to work with your own hands as we command you, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, then that you may have lack of nothing. 2 Thessalonians 3:10, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there be some who walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now then, that are such, we command and exhort by the Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. Ephesians 5:4-28, let him that stole no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may be given, that he may have to give to them that needeth. The scripture is very plain about how important work is. And our work should be a testimony of our relationship with the living God. Someone has said, when the grass looks greener on the other side of the fence, it may be that them people have taken better care of it. I don't have too much time for lazy people. We are here to work physically, and we are here to work spiritually. And I tell you, it's a lot of people today do not take work seriously. To the Christian, there should be no difference between things that are secular and things that are sacred. All that the Christian does should be sacred. Colossians 3:17 says, and whatsoever you do in work or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. The words holiness unto the Lord should be blazed out on what every Christian does in the workday. Thirdly, lessons I learned in the workplace. And some of these lessons that I needed to learn, the Lord laid in my heart with convictions from the scripture. Not everyone has those convictions. And I'm not looking down on anyone who doesn't, but God laid it in my heart, and I had to deal with it in my life. God's expectation in the workplace. When I was about 12 years of age, most of the older folks know where we lived. Right across from that, there is a restaurant today. A little cabin up there back of the restaurant. When I was a boy, it was three cabins there and a little service station. And they didn't have a lot of business, and so they had a bell there, and someone came to the service station. They'd come down from the house to take care of it. Well, I mowed their yard. I was 12 years old. I had one of these real pushers, no motor. I mowed that for a couple of years. And the owner told me, when you're out there mowing, it's hot and you're thirsty, you can go and get a bottle of soda anytime you want to. Feel free to do that. Well, I did that occasionally, but candy bars looked pretty good, too. At that time, candy bars were 5 cents. Most people wouldn't know that today. And I took a couple of them through the course of working there. And every time I heard a sermon on restitution, the Lord brought this to my mind, and wasn't much, maybe it only amounted to 50 cents or a dollar over the course of time. And the devil would get me to say, oh, doesn't matter, forget about it. But I remember after I was married, one evening during revival, Brother Luke Booker was our evangelist, and no, it wasn't Luke, it was Sam Castle. He preached on restitution. The Lord laid that hard in my life. So I went and took care of that. The man had moved away, but I found him in York. But that was a great lesson I needed to learn in the workplace. Make sure you deal rightly. A lot of places today where people work, they take things home from where they work. They're dishonest about wasting time. Are we serious in the workplace? In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, the scripture says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. Also, one of the first lessons I learned, and I worked at Thomasville Stone Quarry for 10.5 years, was the way that our lives are observed by others. We're watched very carefully as Christians of how we work, how we live, how we spend our money, what our activities are in our life. Let's be aware of that. When I worked there, they had safety meetings every month, once a month. It was over our dinner hour. And in order to get us to go to those meetings, they had a container with balls on with our payroll number on. And if we went to the meeting and were there and we knew the slogan for that month, we would receive a gift. We usually gave 3 different gifts out at that time. I always felt a little uncomfortable about doing this. I wasn't much for gambling. And the devil justified that. It's not really gambling. They want to give it to you just for coming to the safety meeting. But one day as we were going over to the meeting, there was an older man just lived up the hill or not too far, a very ungodly man. He said to me, Merle, why are you going over here? You don't believe in gambling. And that was the Spirit of God talking to me. I went to the superintendent. He was in charge at that time. And I asked him if he would take my ball with my number out of there. I said, I will come to the safety meetings because I feel it's important. And he said, why do you want to do that? I said, if this action that I'm partaking in this would hinder this man from accepting the Lord, I never want to be a hindrance to anyone's salvation. So he removed it. Also, as I worked there, it was very evident, as I mentioned before, that the unsaved people were carefully observing the brethren from Pleasant Hill Church. There was a number of us worked there at that time, and they were watching. As every place, the people in the world are watching our lives. My lesson was, be very careful of your walk with the Lord. Another lesson I learned there while working at Thomasville, in order to work there, you need to be part of the labor union. I didn't feel good about that either, because I know what happens in a lot of labor unions. I know employees have been mistreated, but today, the labor unions are taking advantage of companies in many ways. In 1970, I was called to the ministry here at Pleasant Hill. At that time, I was deeply convicted to get out of the labor union. The reason? I knew another minister who worked under labor union, and I heard that his brother-in-law said he would never go to listen to him to preach because he worked under a labor union. This is kind of hard on me. I enjoyed operating heavy equipment, and I needed a job, but I felt I needed to move there, so I quit. The third lesson is to be faithful in your witness for the Lord. As I worked at Thomasville, there was a man who moved up from Virginia who was a very ungodly man. He spoke very ungodly. I felt I ought to share to him the Lord. And I had an opportunity one day. We were alone, and I didn't do it. And the Lord laid this heavy on my heart. And I promised him if he gave me an opportunity, I'd share with him. And he did. One day we were alone, and I talked to him about the Lord. It just appeared as like it was to no avail. About 25 years later, and I worked at Nell's store, he came into the store. He said, "You remember you talked to me at Thomasville about the Lord?" Yeah, I said, "I remember that." But I thought, I don't think it did any good. He said, "You sowed some seed there that day. Some more seed was sown later. Today I'm a born-again Christian." Remember, we need to trust the Lord to move on his timetable. We never know when he's moving, but we need to be faithful. As I worked at Nell's store, after I quit Stone Quarry, I learned more lessons of life that I needed to have in my life. I deeply appreciated Brother Harry and Brother Fred as I worked for them. They were examples of Christian integrity. And I thank the Lord and them for the experiences of that opportunity. Because there were some lessons I needed to learn, and I learned them there. After the store was sold, Harry and Fred sold the store. I was assistant store manager and grocery manager. And at that time, we had quite a number of young people working while going to school. Some of them had been taught to work and were good employees, but there were others that couldn't take responsibility. You almost had to take them by the hand and lead them around. And it seemed like I was always training or retraining to get the work completed. This gave me a bad attitude. But one day the Lord challenged me with a duty of trying to help them to develop good work habits and to teach them responsibility. That challenge gave me a much better attitude and a better outlook. Just another lesson I needed to learn. Life is only 10% of what happens to us, but 90% of our attitude. After Nell Brothers sold the store, I worked for AWI for about 15 years. And AWI decided to be open on the Lord's Day. Nell's didn't have it open then, and we didn't sell tobacco. I went to the president of AWI and made an appeal to him. I reminded him how the Lord had blessed the business there, and if they were under his day, he'd continue to do that. He was very kind to me. He said, "I appreciate your convictions, and I want you here, but we feel it's too much competition. We need to be open on Sunday." But he said, "As long as we have a store here, you will not have to work on Sundays." Well, that sounded pretty good. But how could I not work on the Lord's Day and tell those that were working under me, "You have to work, you don't have a job"? This is a hard time for Patsy and I. I enjoy working with people. I was used to dealing with salesmen and enjoyed it. We prayed much about it, and I had made an appeal to the president of AWI, so we both felt that my service for Nell's was complete. and we had to move on. After the sign was put up in the store that the store would be open on Sundays, I was surprised how many people that shopped there asked me, "Merle, what are you going to do?" I didn't know so many people were watching me. One of those was Patsy's Patsy's nephew, who said to her brother who lived in Florida, "I wonder what Uncle Merle will do now. I'm sure working on Sundays will not set well with him." That shocked me also. After the decision to leave Nell's, I had an offer to work part-time at Bible Helps. So I planned to work there part-time, and I also got my CDL license to drive a school bus. But that time, Bible Helps decided to hire me full-time, and so I did not take the bus driving job. When I went to Bible Helps, I thought this work would be boring since I was used to working with so many people all day long. But even though I had to take a large cut in pay, we've been blessed of God by Him supplying our needs, and the work is never boring. When I see many of the spiritual needs of the people and able to help them in a small way, it's a blessing. Just this past Friday afternoon, Sister Mace said there's someone from Florida wants to talk to Merle. And this is a prisoner who had been in a prison for a number of years. I've been corresponding with him, sending him literature, sending him scripture, praying for him. And he called me and said he's out of prison now. And he thanked us so much at Bible Helps for touching his life. He's a born-again Christian. And he wants me to send literature to the prison where he was to help those who are there. I have learned many lessons in the workplace, but I thank the Lord for his patience. And many times I have been a very slow learner. And aren't we all? I'd like to leave a challenge with us this morning. What is your purpose in life? What do you value most of all? Select your priorities. Is it financial independence? Big, large bank accounts? Personal integrity? Recognition and prestige? Is it serving God in all you do? How important is your family spiritually? Is your life just to have a nice house and things and travel? Is it to help others, to contribute to the welfare of God's people? I'd like for you to choose and challenge you to choose three main priorities in life. Serving God should be the most important value above everything else. You know, when we leave the scene of action, every one of us are going to have a plot in the ground the same size. It doesn't matter how much wealth you had, how many cattle you have, how many farms you have, how many bank accounts you have. Just a little plot of ground, same level. But where will our soul be, our spirit? That's what's important. That should be our first desire. I think the second should be our family. Our family headed for heaven, or they headed for hell? And thirdly, integrity in our lives, that there was a bound to see that we live for God. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. You know, some people so wild oats during the week, and they slip into church on Sunday and pray for a crop failure. That doesn't work. My life's desire has been to walk with God. I have failed him many times, but that's been my desire. Is that your desire? God knows your heart. He knows my heart. God moves in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. You fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds you all so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessing on your head. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a flowing providence he hideth a smiling face. His purpose will ripen fast and unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. It's not one of us here that haven't gone through some hard times, and there'll be more hard times. But we say of a living God who will take us through if we're faithful. If we're faithful. I'm still learning lessons in the workplace. I have a lot to learn, but I have learned to trust God one day at a time. Whatever your stage in life is, a child, a youth, middle age, or an older person, be sure of where you're going to spend eternity. There's only two places. There's a heaven, a most wonderful place, and there's a burning, blistering hell that God doesn't want anyone to go to. Jesus has provided the way to heaven through faith, repentance, and baptism. And those he accepts, and then he accepts us to work faithfully for his kingdom in every area of our life. What type of employee are you? What type of an example are you in your neighborhood, in your workplace, in your daily walk? God's keeping account. And someday, every one of us here will stand before him and give an account. Have we been faithful? Is the challenge left with us. God bless you.